proceed then with Senate Bill 248, which is a bill on to create a higher education savings plan. And will the proponents of Senate Bill 248 please come forward?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Ray Christensen from the Department of Education and Cultural Affairs, and my testimony will be real brief because people that know a lot more about this than I will be ready to testify. This is a bill that we think will be beneficial. We have high graduation rates from high school. Our graduation rates, completion from college, the number of kids that go on is much lower. And we believe that this bill will be one of the pieces that can help assist in moving that forward, and urge your support of the bill. And I really don't want to get into it very much because Ron Williamson's here and he knows a lot more about it. I think it'd be better to hear from him.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. I'm sure that you would like to stay for more questions on this particular bill, but since you've introduced Mr. Williamson, welcome, Mr. Williamson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Williamson. I'm registered to represent First Financial Bank, which is a credit card bank in the Dunes, which also has an office in Sioux Falls. There's always some fear and trepidation when you're introduced as an expert. I wasn't even aware of this until about 3 or 4 months ago, but a number of you have seen this bill before and have actually been very instrumental in passing the bill, and it had some difficulties as it went to the second floor. And I think that as evidence by the governor supporting the bill as his bill this year, that it's something that it's an area that he has taken a look at, has been satisfied relative to his questions that he had last year. And Senator Munson this year and Senator Hamm in the past has been very instrumental in sponsoring this bill, but, and Senator Munson was good enough to get it drafted up so it'll go forward. And again, since many of you, I think, or all of you, have heard this bill and voted on the concept before, it's basically has to do with the IRS code and what is called Section 529. And what that allows you and I to do relative to investing in education for college and technical schools, both in South Dakota and outside of South Dakota, but hopefully in South Dakota. And that is that if you as a parent or a relative want to, you will be able to invest a large amount or a small amount on a continuing basis, tax deferred, and then it is, it grows in what I would call, I think that we all are sort of up on today, and that's similar to an IRA account, but it grows tax-free in that account until the beneficiary, i.e. the student, is graduates and is eligible then to go on to higher education. At that time, then the money can be withdrawn by the beneficiary, i.e. the student, and it's drawn and it's taxed then at the rate of for that individual, so which would be obviously at a much lower rate. That basically is how the bill works. I have a handout for you that I would be happy to provide. It gives an example rather than read through that and take your time. I think most of you would probably understand how it can grow as far as the savings are concerned. In addition, there is an amendment. This is one of those bills that I don't want to pick on lawyers, but every time a lawyer looks at it, they have, you know, something that they want to add to it. And so, but I would say that they have all looked at it. The Department of Education, the Board of Regents, and they may be here this morning, they are supportive of it. All states in the country that I know of, except just a very few, have this plan in place. So in effect, in South Dakota today, you and I could go and invest and do this in Minnesota, I'm not sure if Minnesota has it up and running, but for instance, Arizona, which this is very comparative to, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, you could go to one of those states and invest today. But obviously, from my previous experience, I'd rather have them invest it and do it in South Dakota and do it through South Dakota and have it as a as another resource for not only the financial institutions, but for the parents and the students. So the amendment is a very small one, and I gave that to Senator Munson, and he has copies of that, and he'll pass that around. So I think, Mr. Chairman, unless there are any questions, why?
Thank you, Mr. Williamson. I believe before we'll move on, if Senator Munson would like to move the amendment, moved by Senator Munson, seconded by Senator Hamm. And with that, then the we can speak to the amendment and so on. Okay. I guess I have a couple questions. Ron, what would you say would be the difference between the bill that we have today in front of us and the one that a year ago was vetoed?
There was. Let me touch on a couple of concerns that the governor pointed out last year. One was that. He felt that there was some liability on the state of South Dakota. And as you look to the bill, find the right copy of it here. As you look to the bill, at the end of the bill, and I'm not sure, I don't have a copy line by line of what you have, but we speak,
if you'd like to use mine, you can go ahead. I've got it up here.
We speak to that as far as... Section 29, which talks to 28 sections 28 and 29. Section 28 speaks to nothing in this act gives up any legal interest relative to guaranteeing education. It does not establish state residency, nor does it guarantee the amount saved. Also, then Section 29 speaks to the obligation of the state. It says, and it lists those obligations there. So that's one area. Another area was that the governor was concerned that it did not include vocational schools. And very candidly, I think that was just left out of the bill because we went back then when I started working with it, and we went back to just basically take the language out of the IRS code, which does speak to vocational schools, so they are included. Those were the two major areas that the governor had.
Thank you. I think a couple other things that I would just add to that, having dealt this past few months with a couple constituents that were interested in this bill, not knowing that it was going to be presented, I think some information given, and I could be corrected on this, that we had, I think, only two states, as I heard, that did not make this available to their citizens. And also, as you mentioned, people from South Dakota could invest in other states' programs. We did not have one. And another, as I remember the veto again, I think that it was as a result of we had asked the Department of Education to be in charge of this without furnishing them more FTEs to have the ability to do that. And so hopefully the committee has read that bill, and if those problems we had last year are taken care of, we could be more comfortable that this bill would go through. I do understand that the governor has supported the current bill that we have. Are there any other questions of Mr. Williamson?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a maximum, though, of $2,000 a year, is there not, for tax defer?
No, you can, in fact... there aren't very many of us that can do this, so I don't know how I wouldn't fall into this category. But you can, as I understand it, you can defer up to 5 years of your gift tax of $10,000. You can give the $10,000 per year per individual. But you can, if you had $100,000, you could go ahead and put $100,000 into the account, and it could start growing immediately. So that it allows that. Did I answer your question?
Well, yeah, but then that counts towards 600,000 lifetime.
That I don't know. That I don't know, Senator.
Maybe in the further testimony, maybe that would be a question somebody else can answer. Any other questions? Yes, Senator Huttmacher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know previous, most of these plans are done without, or done throughout the State Treasurer's Office, and I know ours has been through DECA in previous years, and that was one of the arguments, but I see the Investment Council is involved with this one. What is, I guess, why the Investment Council, and what is their, you know, what is their take on it? Are they interested in taking this program on, and are they going to have to hire more employees, right, or, you know, pick up two staff or whatever to handle it?
Right. My understanding is the thinking on the Investment Council is that that's where, quote, the expertise is vis-a-vis investing and dealing with financial service units and so forth. In some states, again, I didn't become an expert on this until a few months ago, but in some states, as I understand it, there's just one plan. In other states, i.e., for instance, Arizona, has more than one plant. More than one plant is available. This proposal allows more than one plant. And so the Investment Council would be involved in determining who can provide it, which financial institutions can provide it, and then what the plan will be and how it will be laid out. And very candidly, my understanding is that the reason the Investment Council was put there is because that was, quote, where they felt the expertise is. To your point, Senator, the State Treasurer also serves on the Investment Council.
Mr. Chair, if I could ask one more, I guess. Is Investment Council, this is kind of out of the realm and scope of their normal duties, I think. Are they going to have to hire additional staff to do this?
I would guess that they would. My guess would be that the answer is yes. And the way that it's laid out in this bill is, again, there is, the council can, for lack of a better word, charge those that lay the fees out as to covering the cost. If you look to Section 2, Subsection 6, which is under, it says the council shall in Section 2, and then if you look at Subsection 6, it says charge, impose, and collect administrative fees and service charges in connection with any agreement, contract, or transaction relating to the program. So they will be able to recover those costs.
Any further questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to address the proposed amendment. If I might.
Yes, you may.
Ron, on the amendment that's proposed, the current subsection 1 is fairly loose, and my assumption is that the proposed amendment ties it down and says that it will be in the form of a trust. Is that?
That was my understanding. The securities people here at the state level brought this to the governor's office, and I said, my answer to them was, when they got to me, was, you know, if you can take care of your concern, why, that's fine with me. And so this is what they have proposed, and this is their amendment. And to answer your question, Senator, yes, that's my understanding of what they wanted to do.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Senator Huttmacher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Has the Investment Council, I guess, been through this bill and
yes,
basically endorsed it?
Yes. Yes, I had conversation with Steve Myers, and like the regions, I don't know if they're going to be here this morning or not, but I have had that conversation, and they are aware of it, and they have reviewed the bill.
The whole council has, or?
I don't know if the whole council has, Senator. Okay.
Thank you.
I recall within the last few meetings, I think someone from the Investment Council was here. And I don't see anybody from the council here this morning from that office, but I do see that the Board of Regents is here. Okay. So are there any further questions of Mr. Williamson on Senate Bill 248? At this time, Claire, would it be take a vote on put the amendment on, or can we wait with that? Okay. At this point, thank you. At this point, the amendment that you have in front of you has been moved and has been seconded. Is there any further discussion on the amendment? If not, all those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay.
Motion carries. Senate Bill 248 is amended. Any other proponents of Senate Bill 248?
Morning. My name is Jim Shackleton. I'm General Counsel for the Board of Regents. We're appearing in support of this bill. The amendment that I handed out is another one drafted by a lawyer. It has two technical corrections that are being made here. One of them is that the federal legislation places two requirements on institutions that will be eligible institutions. One is that the institution be eligible for to participate in federal Title IV programs, and we all know about those. The other is that they must be of a particular type, and so we're just making an amendment to clarify that all types of institutions are subject to the Title IV eligibility requirement.
Excuse me, Mr. Shackleton. I think at this point we'll take a motion for the amendment. Senator Hamm moves the amendment, seconded by Senator Olson. Go ahead. You can address the amendment and the bill.
Okay. Now, these amendments that are on page 2 have the effect of adding the Title IV requirement, making it applicable to all three types of institutions already identified in the bill. The amendment to page 4 is to incorporate into the legislation the caveats that already exist under Section 529 of the IRS Code. And it simply indicates that in order to be able to contribute towards the cost of room and board, the student has to be a half-time student, and the room and board costs have to be consistent with federal guidelines. And we've written it that way because we are, after all, trying to implement federal legislation, and these things are subject to change. In terms of the board's position on the bill, as you may recall from Ms. Stonefield's testimony on Monday, students in our institutions in this state, from the public institutions, are graduating with debt loads on the order of $13,000 to $17,000 a year. It's a very substantial amount. Anything that the state can do to help to families to address that type of debt load is going to be a positive step, and it's going to help to make good the investment the state has been making in trying to increase the human capital of the state. Therefore, the board does support this. As Mr. Williamson indicated, when the board last studied this issue in 1998, all but eight states had initiated one or more of these programs. Since that time, I know that Iowa has incorporated such a state, and the Minnesota program is up and running. So South Dakota, the time is ripe, and this is a good bill. You've already adopted the fundamental policies, and we urge you to go forward once again this year with the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Shackleton. Any questions of Mr. Shackleton on Senate Bill 248 as amended? At this point, then, I will take any discussion that we have on the amendment. Hearing none, all those in favor of the amendment will vote aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. Senate Bill 248 has now been amended for the second time. Any further questions of Mr. Shackleton? Hearing none, any more proponents for the Senate Bill 248 as amended?
Good morning. Elaine Roberts with the South Dakota Education Association. Almost as long as I've been president of the association, I've come before this committee to testify in support of a bill like this. We thought it was a great idea when the treasurer proposed a savings plan for families. We thought it was a great idea last year when Senator Hamm brought the idea before us. We need to provide opportunities for families, ways for families to save for college education. I just can't help but put in a plug at this point. We're talking about young people coming out with debt loads of $13,000 to $17,000. And in our profession, the teaching profession, that makes it very difficult for them to come out and take a teaching position in this state. So anything that we can do to help families, we would appreciate it and appreciate your support.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Any questions? Hearing none, any other proponents? Senate Bill 248 as amended. Any other proponents of Senate Bill 248? Seeing none, we'll move then to the opponents of the Senate Bill 248. Any opponents? There being no opponents, we'll close to committee discussion and action. Senator Olson.
Chairman, being on the sidelines for 6 years, I've watched and waited for this bill to pass. I'm happy we're in a form that we can probably get that done, and I would move due pass on Senate Bill 248.
By Senator Olson, due pass Senate Bill 248 as amended and seconded by Senator Hamm. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Senator Hutmacher.
Would it be possible for us to get a fiscal note on this to see what it's going to cost to implement this program?
Senator, I think it would be. Would you be comfortable if we get that fiscal note for when it goes to the floor? Would you rather have it now?
Nope, that would be fine.
Okay, I'd like to move the bill out if we could today, and we would request a fiscal note on Senate Bill 248. Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing none.
Chairman.
Yes, Senator Dupere.
I just couldn't help but notice in the second amendment that's offered, I think we need a couple of words just to make it flow in the first paragraph of the amendment. It just, there's a simple statement, an institution is eligible to participate. And since we're defining what an eligible education institution is, I think it should say an institution that is eligible, and then it should go on. So I would propose an amendment that would insert the word that after the word institution, and then further in the second paragraph of the amendment, the words "if the institution" are stricken. In the place of those words, I think you also need the word "that," an institution, and then it would read "an institution accredited for private post-secondary education that is eligible." Otherwise, it's simply a declaratory statement. It doesn't make sense to me. So I would. That was but lines 14 and 15 are gone. Excuse me. Yep, you wouldn't need that second one.
The second one we don't need then. No. Okay, so just be the first one you proposed, which would be page 2, line 6, after institution on the amendment, the word that be inserted. Second to that amendment, seconded by Senator Olson. Any discussion on that? Not sure if Watertown delegation includes an English major or not, to get us straightened out. But Senator Dugard, you've done very well. Any further discussion on that? If not, all those in favor of the amendment, say aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. Further amendment. Further amended. Any further discussion on Senate Bill 248? Hearing none, we'll take the vote now on Senate Bill 248 as amended. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Dugard.
Aye.
Hamm.
Aye.
Hutmacher.
Aye.
McIntyre.
Aye.
Munson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Rose.
Aye.
7 yeas, no nays.
Motion carries. Senate Bill 248 will go to the floor as amended. Senator Munson, at this time, with your expertise, that I feel that you can help us with this bill on the floor, I know that you would be much more capable of answering the questions that you may get. Thank you, Senator Munson.